Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano Show, Dom's Money Melody coming up. We'll take your calls today, the day they burned Joan of Arc at the stake. So what do we think of? Well, people with three-word names, not four. Somebody called in, and I don't know how Dana got up on the board, Gina Loa Brigida. The last name was Loa Brigida. It's one of my favorite all-time names, the last name of Loa Brigida.
But it's two.
And Gina Loa Brigida, if you can imagine, came to Philadelphia, was honored by city council. Picture city council with Gina Loa Brigida. Oh, my God. Picture Jim Kenney in the office handing her a Liberty Bell or something. Oh, my God. All right. Alan Dershowitz had a bit of an emergency. He's going to be with us around 2:30-ish today. I'll play for you, though, what Professor Dershowitz said last night, Dan. I'm not sure if this was on Fox. I'm looking.
No, this is on his personal podcast called The Der Show, which is a fantastic name for
a
podcast.
I didn't know that The Der Show, I know he's doing a tremendous amount of media. I wonder if Larry David will be a guest on there. Here's what he said on The Der Show about Judge Mershon. Now, he's looking at all the things you could appeal here. He was in the courtroom. He'll explain that. But what if there's a holdout juror who just says, look, I've seen everything I need here. We've deliberated forever on this. You cannot tell me that it's a unanimous decision if four jurors say there's one underlying crime, another four say something else, and then a third group of four say something else. That doesn't work for me. No, that doesn't work. Here's what he said Mershon is capable of doing because of observing him in the courtroom.
And I admit this is highly, highly speculative, but there I know a case on this, so that I'm not making it up. The judge said he's not going to dismiss the alternate jurors until there's an absolute verdict. One possible reason for that, and again, I want to emphasize that I'm speculating. One possible reason for this might be following, and it's quite cynical. Let's assume that the jurors come back and say, sorry, we're deadlocked. We have one juror who just won't give in. There are 11 of us who think he's guilty. By the way, the jurors don't say what they think. They just say there's a deadlock. But if they come back that way, the inference will be that the jury is locked 11 to 1 in favor of conviction. So the judge hears from the jurors, and the judge hears that they're 11 to 1. And then the judge says, well, is that other juror, the 12th juror, is he negotiating? Is he involved in the conversations? And the foreman of the jury says, no, he's refusing. He's sitting there with his arms folded saying, guy's innocent. Sorry, guy's innocent. I'm not going to listen to you. The guy's innocent. There's no case here. The guy's innocent. If I were on the jury, that's what I'd be doing. And then the judge has the power, rarely exercised, but he has the power. I've seen it done to say, well, if this juror won't deliberate, then he's violating his oath. And I'm going to substitute one of the alternate jurors for that juror, and then immediately they come back with a 12 to nothing verdict of conviction. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm not saying that's even in the judge's mind. But knowing this judge and seeing him in actions, particularly having seen him in action the day I was in the court when they cleared everybody, but I was allowed to stay, why, I still don't know. And I saw the real Judge Merchan. That's not beyond the realm of possibility. So anything's possible. This judge wants Donald Trump convicted.
That's exactly right. Now, you know, the probability of something like this going on, would they not realize? But you know what this is about. It's not about sending Trump to prison, you know, in some fantasies that people say. It's a pure political fact. They want to hang on him the title convicted criminal, convicted felon. They want to be able to put that out there and run with that for a while. They want to change the momentum a little bit. Maybe that will get them to the debate if it happens around this. And then maybe in the debate, that gives them some angles of attack with this. The most telling thing out there that I think is rock solid is that a lot of people are not paying attention to the back and forth on this trial. You probably know that. Talk radio listeners, people that are really engaged in what's going to happen in the future of the country, they are. But a lot of people are not. So if coming out of this, they hear convicted, and, you know, the people that don't really have an opinion on Trump are far and few between, you know, to an extreme one way or the other, they're just going to think he was convicted around this. And sure, he can appeal. And I know Mark Levin is brilliantly laid out. He can go to the Supreme Court pretty quickly. Can you imagine? Alito writes the opinion, Dan. We're overturning this in various grounds pretty quickly, say within a week. Then he puts up some more flags, or his wife does. Oh, man. The wife has to be a pistol. The stuff going on here, you know, given his position. So Alan Dershowitz will be with us to break that down at around 2:30. But I still stick in the camp that says there is going to be a hung jury here ultimately. But you understand the pressure. Dershowitz said it at the end. They just want to convict Trump. It's a political act. You know, whatever he suffers, doesn't suffer and all, that's immaterial. They know, at least in any way, shape, or form that I can see, they can't stop Trump from campaigning in the sense of still running for president and being elected. This would not knock him out of the box under any interpretation that you find. So the idea that Merchan, and you heard Dershowitz said, I actually saw him when people were out of the room, what he's really all about. And I tell you, this is a possibility. Now, would any number of other judges do that in a case like this? Given the repercussion of that, you jump into the ring, you put this other alternate jury in there. How are we supposed to accept that? I mean, already, people see this as just ridiculous right from the beginning. It becomes more ridiculous every day. And if you had people, you know, the argument's going to be, well, they just want Trump to be in there and you're not going to convince them of anything. Oh, well, that's the American jury system. You have a right to do that. You have a duty as a juror, but you also have constitutional rights in this. And if the person feels they've heard enough here, and it's been debated back and forth enough times, the judge can do an Allen charge in which he says that the jury should take a long look at what the majority of people, and it could be an overwhelming majority of people, believe in this, and take that into account. If that doesn't work, tagging in, there are six alternate jurors here. Tagging in somebody and then say a couple of hours later, they all come back 12-0, Trump's guilty of a lot of crimes. You are just asking, but the Biden people are desperate to turn the thing around. Biden will be on within a half hour then from the White House saying it's not political. That's why he's doing it at the White House. That's the only goal here. And I've been honest with you. I'm not one of these guys telling you if Trump has that title on him, it's not going to matter with some of these voters in the suburbs where they're looking for this excuse to say, I just can't do this. That's the unknowable. It's not going to be a vast number of people, though. There are going to be people more intensely fired up. Dan, I'd like to count the flags on the beach, so to speak, the day after this. And I'd love to know what the Trump stores already have printed up. If he wins, I'm sure there are shirts and other trinkets. I mean, Roe even bought three of those at the Trump store we went to when we were down there that day.
Wow.
Three of the Trump stores that had the talking head thing, and Trump says a phrase. She couldn't resist them.
Is she distributing them as gifts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there are certain people she thinks were like, yeah. And the person in front of us took a giant garbage bag that they didn't have a lot of bags, and they're throwing stuff into that. It must have been 15 or 20 items.
Shoplifting?
No. Oh. Paying for it. Oh, I'm just saying, it was a brisk market. Everybody went into this place. It was in a home. Right there on Jersey Avenue. I think there are three of them, we're told, already in Wildwood for the summer. Yeah, it is stunning to me.
Where's the Biden store?
Yeah, where's the Biden store? Tell me what the Biden flag would look like. You know, what would the Biden flag...
A pair of aviators?
Yeah, the pair of aviators, I'm sure there would be. Yeah, Hunter Biden flags have a better sell rate. All right, so...
When you have the kind of imagery he's looking at.
Well, you know? Next week, that's right. His trial starts next week, so it's... 855-839-1210. You get on board. Let's go to Dom's. Dom's.
It's Dom.
I thought you were taking a caller.
Money Melody.
Has all the money gone.
All right, today we're playing for a digital movie code to see The Land of Saints and Sinners. Liam Neeson plays a retired hitman, Finbar Murphy.
Finbar.
Who finds peace in a quiet Irish town until the terrorists force him back into action. From Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, available to buy or rent on digital right now, rated R. All right, Dan, what's the backstory?
Dom, today's side topic, and I'm getting, I guess, a little predictable because people on YouTube are already trying to figure out who are some three-worded named musicians, and yep, that's where I'm going today, is a three-worded named musician with a very distinct style, singing a very famous song, covering it, Dom. That's all I'm going to give, because I think it's so distinct, it might be kind of easy. But we want to know who it is today covering the song, Dom. Take a listen.
Mary had a little lamb. His face was white as snow, yeah. Everywhere the towel went. Go, yeah. He followed her to school one day.
Digging it.
Interesting interpretation. Not bad. Yesterday was sort of a playoff, or the day before, too. So hit us with that. And you are off. Well, we'll send you the digital movie. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Dershowitz around 2:30. Want you to hear it from him. Could that actually happen? Anything can happen in this. Literally, any kind of surprise could happen with this judge and his instructions.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That's exactly right. Every day around 2:12, 2:13, we hit you with something from Dan's creative mind. Let's hear the clue today and tell us who's covering this famous song.
Mary had a little lamb. His face was white as snow, yeah. Everywhere the child went, the little lamb was sure to go, yeah.
All right, let's try John in Springfield. Hey, John, who's covering that song?
That is Mr. Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Nicely played, John. Enjoy the film. We'll send that off to you. Dan, a little bit more of the backstory?
Yeah, just a three-word name there, Stevie Ray Vaughan, that I thought we could honor. Why not? He died in a horrible, horrible helicopter crash where a pilot flew into the side of a ski mountain. No foul play involved, just a sad tragedy. But a great, great blues musician. And Dom, I got to tell you, when I'm at home making dinner, a lot of times I say to Alexa, play some Stevie Ray Vaughan radio, and I love his sound. So, great job.
Very good. Very good. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow for a nice prize again. A couple of things. Ocean City, as we hear it, at 4 o'clock today, I think on the music pier, they're holding a news conference. I think it's at least the mayor of Ocean City, and I think it's one of the commissioners, Lenny Desiderio, that we had on, and somebody else. And they're going to unveil what their plan is to deal with what we saw happened over the last weekend, okay? And I have to tell you, Ocean City seemed to be fairly effective what they've done the last two summers, but I think it's reached a level now that's even beyond that. And I happen to see this benevolent association of cops start to weigh in. It bothers me because several of these benevolent associations of cops or unions, call them what you will, over the years have endorsed people like Phil Murphy. If you go around endorsing any of these progressives, and Phil Murphy is goofy, but he is, how in the world should we listen to you then when cops are under fire? You're the ones that helped to put them in office. If you're afraid that you can't endorse, say, Jack Cittarelli, who's running for governor this time, versus whomever the Democrat is that comes out of this in Jersey will be a progressive on the Democrat side, then just stay out of the endorsement. But if you endorse these Democrats, particularly in a place like Jersey, oh, well, this is where they're going to go. This is what they're about. Now, the contention of Murphy is they tightened up police authority again, which they did not. So what is it, as you head to the Jersey Shore, your thoughts on what you want them to do across the Jersey Shore? Most people listening now at some point this summer are going to go there, particularly if you have grandkids that are young or you go on the boardwalk with kids that are 3, 4, 5, 6, that kind of thing. what is it they should do? They don't want to be oppressive. Ocean City was never oppressive. There wasn't a massive police presence. But it's clearly out of control. And we've traced for you the directives from that former attorney general that they're following. And cops are scared to death. They are going to get into big trouble if these khaki punks film them and all hell breaks loose. And they'll be charged with all kinds of things. Why should they risk all that? These kids are emboldened. They're going to try this again. They're going to do it all summer. That's what's been unleashed here. So what is it they can do or should do? I don't understand why they weren't doing it before. Murphy clearly making, you know, another liar's argument. We've already tightened this up. What do you mean the cops don't have the tools to work with this? The people in Jersey, are they that sick, the progressive mindset? Yeah, they are. That they believe Murphy when he says something like that? I mean, these are prime brands. Ocean City's brand is one of a kind, America's Family Resort. So at 4 today, and we'll have some of our people on tomorrow once we hear what they're going to say. But Dan, anything occur to you other than a return to what they did last summer in Ocean City? I guess that's about the only thing legally they can do.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a PR type event trying to cover bums and
that they, why didn't they do this already?
I think it's also going to be Murphy. He kind of previewed in that interview that the spin on this is going to be, look, this was an isolated incident and look how great the shore town of Ocean City is. And you need to come here. Tourism is great. Blah, blah.
Well, all I can say is I take Ernie Triano at his word over in Wildwood. I mean, he went civil unrest. He went shut down everything. I don't remember anybody doing that. So I don't think he's going to mess around with this. But if cops wholesale exert their authority, that's what they have to do, what happens then? Well, you don't want that attorney general. You don't want them coming after a police. They won't, Dan, just go after the cop. They'll go after the police department. They'll say they're out of bounds. They'll say they're discriminatory somehow or another. They'll say, we don't want these kids to have records. By the way, why don't we want these punks to have records? You know what I mean? Several people have been on and saying that. I guess it's obligatory that you have to say, do I want a kid at the age of 16 or 17 to have a record? No, I don't, obviously. I know you don't either, Dan. But if you're engaging in what they're doing, then yeah, you ought to have a record. This isn't a kid was a little bit out of line. You know what I mean? This is all out chaos. Yeah, you ought to have a record. At least until you're no longer a juvenile. All right, let's go to Leslie of Bryn Mawr here on Talk Radio 1210. I think she's got a pretty good answer. Hey, Leslie, how you doing?
Aloha and Coco Van.
Ah, that's right. That's the new catchphrase, Coco Van. You did it very well.
I have a couple of comments on the flags. So a lot of people are afraid to fly their flags at their homes, so that's probably why they take them to the beach, because they know they're probably not going to get assaulted on the beach. However, that might change this year, considering what's going on at the shore. And I guarantee you, what was the woman's name that's making a big deal of this? Amy something?
Amy Rosenberg, yes, and she interviewed Sharon Butt. I'm reading it right from the Inquirer.
Well, the two of them both probably have "Hate has no home here" signs in their yard.
Yeah.
I guarantee that.
Look, Leslie, and I think you know this as well as anybody, this is not for some people, like when we were down there at Mulligan's, it's not just a political thing. It's kind of a lifestyle operation going on with the apparel and everything else. It's different. It's not just Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal. Trump's outside all those boxes. It's different.
Yeah. Well, it's a movement, and he happens to be the head of it. I have a Trump flag that I bought so that I could road rally, and I had the best time when I do it, but I wouldn't dare put it in at my house.
Now, so you're
nor
afraid,
would
you're,
I put,
you're afraid of vandalism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just like, you know, when the yard signs start to come out for the, you know, people put their who they're voting for.
Mm-hmm.
Nine times out of ten, the Trump sign's going to get stolen, and the Biden sign will be there.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's putting out too many Biden signs. I can see.
Oh, they will. They'll be putting them out. You know they will. I mean, they're hard. As hardcore as the Trumpers are, the Biden people are just as hardcore. Those that are in the camp.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see on that. Who's your person with the three names?
It's Charlemagne Tha God.
That's a very good one.
Who has been very much in the news this week and under fire. And I really wish the Democrats would stop picking on the blacks and let them vote as Americans and not as black Americans. The way they keep trying to, you know, keep them in this box that they all have to vote together is wrong. Let them vote for what they feel.
All right, thanks, Leslie. Thanks for Charlemagne Tha God.
Cook over.
Is certainly a worthy addition. This is Joan of Arc Day, the day that Joan of Arc was burned at the stake. Let's go to Charlie in northern Pennsylvania on Talk Radio 1210. Charlie, welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
How about Brian Donald? Would he help Trump for both being from Florida?
Well, not state by state, but if you heard him in that interview, I mean, it was...
He's great, yeah.
Yeah, and here's one thing. Sometimes he kind of minimized... They're not laying a glove on him as a black conservative to come after him in that manner. In other words, he's just going to charge forward and say what he would normally say. There wasn't a lot of too much analysis of that. I like that. He's just going to stick with it. He knows what he's doing. That was all on his feet. He was running to do something else with me, Charlie. Yeah, I think he would bring a lot to it. The Florida thing can be worked out with him and Trump of who's where and residence. That can be taken care of. Yeah.
All right. And I have a side answer.
Sure.
Michael Jack Schmidt.
Yeah, now why?
3-0 bid.
Yeah, well, that's...
I gotta do it. I'm sorry.
That's the only reason that I know that that's legit, Dan, because of Harry Callis, that call. Otherwise, we didn't call him Michael Jack Schmidt, you know what I mean? But Harry Callis did. That's a good one. Yeah, he's still the all-time...
You know, I want to play back real quick from Pat Hughes' work with Harry Callis, a little interview that he had with Harry where he explains why he did the Michael Jack Schmidt.
Entire career.
Well, it was truly an honor to have followed the entire Hall of Fame career of Mike Schmidt. Who I used to call Michael Jack Schmidt. The fact that with player movement nowadays, you don't see a guy stay with the same team for his entire career, and to have watched him play the game, he was a magnificent defensive third baseman besides all of his power numbers and what he did offensively. And that was truly an honor, and out of his 548 career home runs, I probably called all but a handful.
Yeah, well, first of all, great voice, one-of-a-kind voice there.
Amazing.
And Dan, Michael Jack Schmidt is now, and I predict in the future, the all-time greatest Philly, not Bryce Harper.
Oh,
sorry
come on.
Are
you one of the guys that Bryce isn't running it out to first base, so now
he's... Well, that's one part, and that's only a little thing. No, it's because the guy was hitting power in that era, and second law,
good point.
He's either one or two. I think you can make a case Brooks Robinson was the better fielder by a hair. Bryce is a good fielder, but this guy was otherworldly. His only crime, he made it look too easy in Philadelphia.
I don't know. Was Michael Jack Schmidt flipping into the crowd to chase down foul balls?
You didn't have to. He just, you know, his crime was he made it look too easy. I give Harper an edge because it's all out, to your point. I like the all-out guy. I like Pete Rose. Schmidt made it look too easy. It's like the gifts were so damn... He just, he didn't have to do anything. So, all right, 855-839-1210. Wait a minute, Dan. The press is waiting to be let back into the courtroom. It was supposed to happen at 2:15. I'm not sure what's happening at 2:15. Something from the judge, I believe. So we are on that. Back in the main courtroom. Don't think it's the decision, but it's something from the judge where the media is going to be involved. We'll give you that the instant we get it. More of your calls. And what a good time to have Alan Dershowitz coming up. His thoughts on Judge Mershon. And in addition to that, how he thinks this guy would gladly get Donald Trump by tagging in an alternate juror. As much as I think that's possible, that would be incredible to me. Just in, you know, things that I can't imagine happening, given the political repercussions of that. If that didn't glide Trump to the presidency, I don't know what would. You go tagging in an alternate juror at the 11th hour here. All right, so we'll see what's happening. Dan and I are on it. We'll let you know what's happening as the press is allowed back, media back into the courtroom. Tom Giordano's show momentarily. We hope to talk with really the great Professor Alan Dershowitz, particularly on Judge Marchand and what could happen here in the trial. I know he had a bit of an emergency here, so this could be...
He's about another 2 or 3 minutes before he jumps.
Another two. Okay, yeah. Joe, Dan, you may not know the meaning of this, but this is an all-time great because this means people really listen to this show. Alan in Hamilton. All right, Alan, what's the three-word name?
Joe Bag of Donuts.
Yes. My all-time, one of the nicest men that ever lived and a guy that gave us such pleasure with his books. Joe Spiraglia, Joe Bag of Donuts. Do you remember why he was named Joe Bag of Donuts?
I can't remember that. I just remember the name.
Yeah. Alan, he said when you go visit someone, he did a lot of the sick or somebody in the hospital, you got to go with something in your hand. That's how he became Joe Bag of Donuts.
Nuts.
Yeah, that is a great one. Great one, Alan. Thank you. Yeah, Dan, we all should have that on our tombstones.
I don't want to be that guy, though. Is bag-o one word or is it bag...
Oh. Bag of donuts. You say it quickly. Joe, it's South
Philly. It's four words. I don't know. Joey Bag.
Joe Bag Donuts. I got a rule on that one. That is so sentimental to me. That's such a good one. All right. We're trying to get you, Professor Dershowitz. Sometimes landing the plane here is a little bit difficult. Don't know what to make of this report on Fox. The media coming back in. I don't know that it's anything special as much as they're chronicling what the jury's been asking for. I know that Juror 6 asked for an Alka-Seltzer today. Let's go to Robert in Bensalem. Hi, Robert. Thank you for the wait. Go right ahead.
No problem, Dom. How you doing?
Good.
Dan, beautiful day. But a real quick, funny story. There was a guy who I passed in his house, and he has two flags in his front yard. One says F. Joe Biden, and one says Donald Trump 2024. His neighbor, an older lady, was very irate about it and complained to it. And I was watching him across the street waiting for an order. And he's just drinking a can of Coors laughing. And she got mad and reported it. And they told her, we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
The next day I drove by and he still has them same two flags, but now he's got a third flag that's even bigger that says, my neighbor is a Karen. Now he lives at the end of the block, so he only has one neighbor. And I'm thinking, I love this country sometimes.
We got to get a picture of that. We got to get that up on Twitter. And how would you like to live next door to either Mrs. Alito or the neighbor down the block that called her the C word and all the flags that have been put up here?
It's like a political Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my neighbor's a Karen. My God.
It's hilarious. But I'm going to change my answer. This woman had a three-word name, which was later changed to another three-word name, and word is she started a massive war. That would be Helen of Sparta, who became Helen of Troy. You guys have a great day.
That is a great one. Yeah, Dan, how many women? I mean, look at Stormy of Daniels, what she has.
That Michael Love Cohen guy.
Yeah, what she has wrought here. But Helen of Troy is the all-time, I mean, my God, thousands of ships sailing in each direction, launching ships and all. What did Stormy Daniels ever launch here?
Some great
so to
answers
speak.
Today.
That's going to make it a little bit difficult. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here because we think we'll get Alan Dershowitz on today, and we want to hear him before anything more happens with this jury. And then briefly with the professor, then we'll have the lightning round. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. One of the greatest in any field of endeavor that's even basketball. Wanted to play Dr. Fauci. Professor Alan Dershowitz with us here on the Dom Giordano Show. Professor, thank you. I know you had a bit of an emergency. We want to promote your podcast, The Dersh Show. Didn't know fully about it, but you said something about Judge Marchand that I don't think most judges in this situation would ever break that glass, because if he does what you suggest could happen about tagging in an alternate juror in a situation, that would be devastating for the country.
It would be. It would be. It's happened in the past in a limited number of cases where you get jurors that are 11 to 1 for conviction. There's one holdout. And the foreman goes to the judge and says, well, there's nothing we can do to persuade this guy. He won't participate. He just puts his arms on his chest and says, no, he's innocent. He's innocent. Sorry. And in a couple of those cases, the judge has said, well, if you won't participate in the discussions at all, then you're not an appropriate juror. And they bounced the juror and brought in an alternate jury, and they got an immediate conviction. I don't put it past this judge to do that. It would be utterly unconstitutional,
specifically,
unethical, and illegal.
Yeah. What does Alan Dershowitz see? You were in the courtroom, and you said you saw the real Marchand when everybody else was out. Specifically, what do you see in this guy?
I see a guy who's determined to preside over a conviction, whether to help his daughter, I don't know, whether to make sure he's acceptable by New York society. He doesn't want to be Dershowitz. That's become a verb now. Everybody knows what happened to me when I defended Donald Trump as president in front of the United States Senate. I was canceled by all my old friends on Martha's Vineyard, many of my colleagues at Harvard Law School, many in the legal profession, my family, my wife, my children were canceled. And, you know, I have a thick skin. But a lot of judges don't want to experience that. If you live in New York, Manhattan, where it's, 85 to 90% anti-Trump, the judge clearly wants to be on the, quote, good side of this case. And that became so clear when he went ballistic with lawyer Costello. He had his, De Niro moment. You know, De Niro was outside of the court house the other day, ranting and raving, but the judge was De Niro in the courthouse. You looking at me? Hey, you looking at me? You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? He went berserk because this lawyer stared at him, stared him down, and raised his eyebrows. Let me tell you, I raised my eyebrows when I saw some of those rulings as well.
Professor, you really just unearthed something here, too. You know, with the reason I like Sam Alito, and it's not about the flag stuff now and showing partiality. The first time I interviewed him, we were just talking about the Phillies, and he told me he kept a scorebook on the Phillies games. He's from the area, and he said he does his legal work, and then he sits there with the scorebook. Sometimes, Dom, he criticizes and overrules the umpires. I didn't see this guy going to Georgetown parties and wanting to fit in that city, in that manner. He was what he was. And that's, to your point, what I would want in a judge. You can do it, but that's got to be incredibly difficult, particularly when your daughter is so deeply involved in a big league way with Democrat politics. You just can't be in this case.
Yeah, and you know, the same hypocrites who say that Alito should be out of the case because of his wife or Thomas, say nothing about Judge Marchand, who has a much greater financial stake, even if indirect through his daughter, in the outcome of this case and in the rulings in this case. So there's a lot of hypocrisy there. I've met Sam Alito a few times. I like him very much. He's a very, very straight guy. And he told me one day that the reason he became a criminal lawyer was because of seeing me in court when he was a law clerk to a judge that I was in front of. And I was very honored by that, obviously. I don't agree with many of his decisions. I agree with his decision today on the NRA, unanimous decision, rare unanimous decision by the Supreme Court. But you don't have to agree with somebody to admire them. And, he's a human being, and his wife is a human being, and she has her constitutional rights to fly a flag. I wouldn't have done it, and I don't think she'll do it again. But the criticism of him is way overwrought.
Now, it's a twofer with Alan Dershowitz here. You mentioned that NRA decision. I haven't been able to get to it today. I'm aware of it. Tell me why you're supportive of what the Supreme Court did here.
The Supreme Court, obviously, the three liberals don't like the NRA. But they ruled in the NRA's favor, saying the government was punishing the NRA, that liberal political figures in New York were trying to punish the NRA because they disagreed with its views, and the government can't be on the side of one or the other. They have to be neutral. And I think that opinion, by the way,
will have real implications to what's going on in university campuses today as universities try to take sides on issues like BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel, or DEI. I think the Supreme Court may be moving toward requiring more neutrality from government institutions, which would be a very good thing. I wish universities would be neutral as well. Universities should not take positions on Israel, on elections, on any controversial issues. They should. Their job is to teach, not to propagandize.
Your book, Get Trump, needs another edition, I would say, after
this. It's getting
this.
One. It's going to get one.
Ah,
it's
there you go. One. I thought I should have known.
I just spoke to my publisher. I spoke to my publisher today, and I said, regardless of the verdict, let's put out an additional version in which I do an essay on the outcome of the case. So I think that may happen. We'll see. We'll see. It could be.
I know how the wheels turn here. I don't know how you fit all this in, including the Durst Show, which is available on YouTube and Apple Podcasts, and I have to check that out every day. Have you seen in your experience this 444 thing where the judge says, hey, you can say this is the reason, falsifying business, or it can be election fraud, or the third reason, and if four say that and four say this, you're all unanimous, though. You found a reason. Is that done a lot?
No, it's done in places where it's clear what the crime is, drug crimes mostly. But it should not be done in cases where the crimes are as amorphous as this one is. I mean, these crimes were unbelievably amorphous. A tax violation that, what, in his mind, that 2 years hence he might take a deduction or might not take a deduction, or his accountant might take a deduction. You can take that into account, or you can say he was defrauding the voting public, because the voting public all thought for sure that he was a virgin and never had done anything improper sexually. And so if they had learned about the Stormy Daniels thing, that would have clearly changed the outcome. The prosecution had the nerve to actually argue that if the Stormy Daniels thing came out before the election, it would have changed the election results and Hillary Clinton would have been president. They actually argued that to the jury.
That's election denial right there, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, the prosecution in this case did a lot of things wrong. They misrepresented a very crucial thing.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano's show. Momentarily, we hope to talk with really the great Professor Alan Dershowitz, particularly on Judge Marchand and what could happen here in the trial. I know he had a bit of an emergency here, so this could be...
He's about another 2 or 3 minutes before he jumps.
Another two. Okay. Yeah. Joe, Dan, you may not know the meaning of this, but this is an all-time great because this means people really listen to this show. Alan in Hamilton. All right, Alan, what's the three-word name?
Joe Bag of Donuts.
Yes. My all-time, one of the nicest men that ever lived and a guy that gave us such pleasure with his books. Joe Spiraglia, Joe Bag of Donuts. Do you remember why he was named Joe Bag of Donuts?
I can't remember that. I just remember the name.
Yeah. Alan, he said, when you go visit someone, he did a lot of the sick or somebody in a hospital, you got to go with something in your hand. That's how he became Joe Bag of Donuts.
Nuts.
Yeah, that is a great one. Great one, Alan. Thank you. Yeah, Dan, we all should have that on our tombstones.
I don't want to be that guy, though. Is bag-o one word, or is it bag...
Uh-oh. Bag of donuts. You say it quickly. Joe, it's South
Philly. It's four words. I don't know. Joey Bag.
Joe Bag Donuts. I got a rule on that one. That is so sentimental to me. That's such a good one. All right. We're trying to get you, Professor Dershowitz. Sometimes landing the plane here is a little bit difficult. Don't know what to make of this report on Fox, the media coming back in. I don't know that it's anything special as much as they're chronicling what the jury's been asking for. I know that Juror 6 asked for an Alka-Seltzer today. Let's go to Robert in Bensalem. Hi, Robert. Thank you for the wait. Go right ahead.
No problem, Dom. How you doing?
Good.
Dan, good to say, but real quick, funny story. There was a guy who I passed in his house, and he has two flags in his front yard. One says F. Joe Biden, one says Donald Trump 2024. His neighbor, an older lady, was very irate about it and complained to it. And I was watching him across the street waiting for an order. And he's just drinking a can of Coors laughing. And she got mad and reported it. And they told her, we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
The next day I drove by and he still has them same two flags, but now he's got a third flag that's even bigger that says, my neighbor is a Karen. Now he lives at the end of the block, so he only has one neighbor. And I'm thinking, I love this country sometimes.
We got to get a picture of that. We got to get that up on Twitter. And how would you like to live next door to either Mrs. Alito or the neighbor down the block that called her the C word and all the flags that have been put up here?
It's like a political Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my neighbor's a Karen. My God.
It's hilarious. But I'm going to change my answer. This woman had a three-word name, which was later changed to another three-word name. And word is, she started a massive war. That would be Helen of Sparta, who became Helen of Troy. You guys have
that,
a great
that
day.
That is okay? A great one. Yeah, Dan, how many women? I mean, look at Stormy of Daniels. What she has.
That Michael Love Cohen guy.
Yeah, what she has wrought here. But Helen of Troy is the all-time, I mean, my God, thousands of ships sailing in each direction, launching ships and all. What did Stormy Daniels ever launch here,
so to
speak?
Some great answers
today. That's going to make it a little bit difficult. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here because we think we'll get Alan Dershowitz on today. We want to hear him before anything more happens with this jury. And then briefly with the professor, then we'll have the lightning round. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. One of the greatest in any field of endeavor that's even basketball. Wanted to play Dr. Fauci. Professor Alan Dershowitz with us here on the Dom Giordano Show. Professor, thank you. I know you had a bit of an emergency. We want to promote your podcast, The Durst Show. Didn't know fully about it, but you said something about Judge Mershon that I don't think most judges in this situation would ever break that glass, because if he does what you suggest could happen about tagging in an alternate juror in a situation, that would be devastating for the country.
It would be. It would be. It's happened in the past in a limited number of cases, where you get jurors that are 11 to 1 for conviction, and there's one holdout. And the foreman goes to the judge and says, well, there's nothing we can do to persuade this guy. He won't participate. He just puts his arms on his chest and says, no, he's innocent. He's innocent. Sorry. And in a couple of those cases, the judge has said, well, if you won't participate in the discussions at all, then you're not an appropriate juror. And they bounced the juror and brought in a alternate jury, and they ain't got an immediate conviction. I don't put it past this judge to do that. It would be utterly unconstitutional,
specifically,
unethical, and illegal.
Yeah. What does Alan Dershowitz see? You were in the courtroom, and you said you saw the real Mershon when everybody else was out. Specifically, what do you see in this guy?
I see a guy who's determined to preside over a conviction, whether to help his daughter, I don't know, whether to make sure he's acceptable by New York society. He doesn't want to be Dershowitz. That's become a verb now. Everybody knows what happened to me when I defended Donald Trump as president in front of the United States Senate. I was canceled by all my old friends on Martha's Vineyard, many of my colleagues at Harvard Law School, many in the legal profession. My family, my wife, my children were canceled. And, you know, I have a thick skin. But a lot of judges don't want to experience that. If you live in New York, Manhattan, where it's, 85 to 90% anti-Trump, the judge clearly wants to be on the, quote, good side of this case. And that became so clear when he went ballistic with lawyer Costello. He had his, De Niro moment. You know, De Niro was outside of the courthouse the other day ranting and raving. But the judge was De Niro in the courthouse. You looking at me? Hey, you looking at me? You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? he went berserk because this lawyer stared at him, stared him down, and raised his eyebrows. Let me tell you, I raised my eyebrows when I saw some of those rulings as well.
Professor, you really just unearthed something here, too. You know, with the reason I like Sam Alito, and it's not about the flag stuff now and showing partiality. The first time I interviewed him, we were just talking about the Phillies, and he told me he kept a scorebook on the Phillies games. He's from the area, and he said he does his legal work, and then he sits there with the scorebook. Sometimes, Dom, he criticizes and overrules the umpires. I didn't see this guy going to Georgetown parties and wanting to fit in that city in that manner. He was what he was. And that's, to your point, what I would want in a judge. You can do it, but that's got to be incredibly difficult, particularly when your daughter is so deeply involved in a big league way with Democrat politics. You just can't be in this case.
Yeah, and you know, the same hypocrites who say that Alito should be out of the case because of his wife or Thomas say nothing about Judge Marchand, who has a much greater financial stake, even if indirect through his daughter, in the outcome of this case and in the rulings in this case. So there's a lot of hypocrisy there. I've met Sam Alito a few times. I like him very much. He's a very, very straight guy. And he told me one day that the reason he became a criminal lawyer was because of seeing me in court when he was a law clerk to a judge that I was in front of. And I was very honored by that, obviously. I don't agree with many of his decisions. I agree with his decision today on the NRA, unanimous decision, rare unanimous decision by the Supreme Court. But you don't have to agree with somebody to admire them. And, you know, he's a human being and his wife is a human being and she has her constitutional rights to fly a flag. I wouldn't have done it. And I don't think she'll do it again. But the criticism of him is way overwrought.
Now, it's a twofer with Alan Dershowitz here. You mentioned that NRA decision. I haven't been able to get to it today. I'm aware of it. Tell me why you're supportive of what the Supreme Court did here.
The Supreme Court, obviously, the three liberals don't like the NRA. But they ruled in the NRA's favor, saying the government was punishing the NRA, that liberal political figures in New York were trying to punish the NRA because they disagreed with its views, and the government can't be on the side of one or the other. They have to be neutral. And I think that opinion, by the way, will have real implications to what's going on in university campuses today as universities try to take sides on issues like BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel, or DEI. I think the Supreme Court may be moving toward requiring more neutrality from government institutions, which would be a very good thing. I wish universities would be neutral as well. Universities should not take positions on Israel, on elections, on any controversial issues. They should. Their job is to teach, not to propagandize.
Your book, Get Trump, needs another edition, I would say, after
it's
this.
One. It's going to get one.
Ah, there you go. I should have known.
I spoke to my publisher. I spoke to my publisher today, and I said, regardless of the verdict, let's put out an additional version in which I do an essay on the outcome of the case. So I think that may happen. We'll see. It could be.
I know how the wheels turn here. I don't know how you fit all this in, including the Durst Show, which is available on YouTube and Apple Podcasts, and I have to check that out every day. Have you seen in your experience this 444 thing where the judge says, hey, you can say this is the reason, falsifying business, or it can be election fraud, or the third reason, and if four say that and four say this, you're all unanimous, though. You found a reason. Is that done a lot?
No, it's done in places where it's clear what the crime is, drug crimes mostly. But it should not be done in cases where the crimes are as amorphous as this one is. I mean, these crimes were unbelievably amorphous. A tax violation that, what, in his mind, that 2 years hence he might take a deduction or might not take a deduction or his accountant might take a deduction. You can take that into account, or you can say he was defrauding the voting public because the voting public all thought for sure that he was a virgin and never had done anything improper sexually. And so if they had learned about the Stormy Daniels thing, that would have clearly changed the outcome. The prosecution had the nerve to actually argue that if the Stormy Daniels thing came out before the election, it would have changed the election results and Hillary Clinton would have been president. They actually argued that to the jury.
That's election denial right there, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, the prosecution in this case did a lot of things wrong. They misrepresented a very crucial fact to the jury. They said you could convict without believing Michael Cohen. No, you can't. The crucial conversation, which allegedly occurred in the Trump Tower and involved Alan Weisselberg, who wasn't called as a witness, the only witness to that conversation, alleged conversation, is Cohen. And if you don't believe Cohen, you can't convict. You cannot prove without Cohen that Trump knew or engineered or participated in or conspired with how these payments would be listed by an accountant. You need Cohen for that. And the prosecution misled the jury on that.
Absolutely. Professor, thank you so much on a day like this. We appreciate it. Can hardly wait till the edition.
Anytime.
To the Get to the Trump book. And thank you. Thanks for sharing everything today.
Sure. Sure. Take care. Bye.
Professor Alan Dershowitz. Dan, I didn't want to push him. He's making too many other critical points to the Larry David stuff. I knew what would happen there. But you know what? He is the perfect arguer, Dan, in that he has a thick skin, but he goes after you aggressively. That's a perfect way to don't be thin skin, but hit him back with double. All right, right now it is time for...
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Joan of Arc. Three word names. Dan, this is a pretty good one. It allows me to tell a brief story. Bill in Bucks County. Bill, what's yours?
Well, he was an outlaw in the 19th century, and he was known as William Bonney, but better known as Billy the Kid.
Absolutely. And Dan, the last Republican mayor of Philadelphia was alive for 3 years while Billy the Kid was still alive.
That's shocking. It's amazing.
Yep, that's the all-timer. Joe in Exton goes for the chalk with this big time. The first place, maybe a name that you think of. Joe, what's yours?
Hello, Dom, and happy Thursday afternoon. In Philly, there is a roadway known as MLK Drive. My person having three words in his name is Martin Luther King.
Very good one. Yep, an all-timer when you
did
have
take out the junior?
Martin Luther. And yeah, you take out the junior. Joe did. We got to let him in on that. He didn't go with the junior. Boris Borowski Jr. Let's go to Dennis. So we'll do that one of these weeks. If there's a child in the office, we have to name it here on the show. Tell Maisie I have naming rights vis-a-vis Roe.
Wait, Roe, she's not going to be happy with that, Dom.
Maisie can have the first couple selections, and when the voting starts, you got to give Roe a third one. I'm sure she has a name.
There's not going to be another Dominic Jr. out there, Dominic the Third. That's DJ's job, Dom.
Yeah. Luke escaped that. Dennis in Cherry Hill on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dennis, what's yours?
Hey, Dom, this is a really obscure one from back in the days of the Saturday morning cartoons when they used to play Schoolhouse Rock to educate all the little children. All right. There was a character in Conjunction Junction named Rufus Xavier Sarsaparilla. One of the most bizarre names I've ever heard in my life, but I never forgot it.
That's a great one.
There's a great one. Earl of Tacony. Earl, what's yours today?
Dan must be ready to record because I have laryngitis again. So I can't sing when I have a frog in my throat. And speaking of frogs, there's Kermit the Frog.
That is a great one. Yep. Anything with the, like Vlad the Impaler.
How do you go from Kermit the Frog to Vlad the Impaler?
Nobody came up Dan, with the great, like Alexander the Great. You know, we didn't hear any great. I was kind of surprised. Mark's got a good one. I've always liked this one. Mark in Wilmington. What's yours, Mark?
Hey, Dom. Hot Lips Houlihan from the movie and the series MASH.
Yes, Hot Lips Houlihan. All right. I often think about that with Chrissy Houlihan, but I never say that. Okay. All right, Dan, this was a good side question from Joan of Arc today. Great ones. Yeah. Give us some of the real contenders here.
Michael Jack Schmidt's got to be up there. I think Helen of Sparta / Helen of Troy. Billy the Kid. Joey Bag of Donuts might be contentious if we go with that one.
Right, I love it, but you're right. That might be four.
Kermit the Frog, Hot Lips Houlihan, Wild Bill Hickok, Mark David Chapman, Charlemagne the God. All great answers. I'm leaning towards either Michael Jack Schmidt or Helen of Sparta, Helen of Troy, just because of the peripherals that came with those calls.
Yeah, I like Helen of Troy.
Helen of Troy?
Yeah, I thought it was not a clear winner because these were all great. Let's go with Helen of Troy.
It's Robert and Ben Salem, man. He's killing it.
Yep. Real good one.
Here are the side questions.
Yep. All right. Alan Dershowitz, if you missed some of it, you know, you were back and forth. It was just great stuff about Judge Marchand and about the pressure. And the reason why this guy, you can never believe fairness. His daughter alone should knock him out of the box. He's got to recuse himself. Who do they want to recuse, though? Sammy Alito. I'm glad to hear his impression of Alito. Dan, I knew you weren't going to get him out of the box. He wanted to do his scorebook. Imagine watching a Phillies game with a scorebook. All right, we're back tomorrow. We'll see what happens with the jury, but Rich has us covered. Four big hours coming up here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.